Hey guys, this is Aaron from Betraying the Martyrs, and you are listening to Talk To Me.
What is up, congregation? Welcome into Talk To Me. This is episode 221. The guest this week is Dewey Halpus of the Peer Pleasure Podcast. This is a special two-part episode. You will start here on my show, head over to the Peer Pleasure Podcast, and you will finish out the episode over there. So if you're coming over from the Peer Pleasure Podcast, welcome. If you're heading on over to the Peer Pleasure Podcast after this, tell them I said hello. Tell them to me from the Talk To Me Podcast said hello. But this was a lot of fun doing two interviews. I interviewed him for my show. He interviewed me for his show. And we did a little crossover episode. And you guys know the Peer Pleasure Podcast from Jabberjaw Media. A lot of great guests over there. Man, you have to go listen to the Fat Mike episode. If you like NoFX, if you don't like NoFX, you're going to love it no matter what. He's also had Danny Trejo, Blasco from Ozzy's Band, Head from Korn, Burt McCracken of The Used, and so much more. So I'm sure that if you listen to my show, you already listen to the Peer Pleasure Podcast, but make sure you are checking it out. And when you do, like I said earlier, make sure to tell them I said hello. If you're new to the Talk To Me podcast, make sure you are rating, reviewing, subscribing, and make sure to join the Talk To Me congregation Facebook group. We're going strong over there, having a lot of discussion, talk, banter about hard rock, heavy metal music over there on the Talk To Me congregation on Facebook. And you guys know that the Talk To Me podcast is brought to you by Good Company with Bowling. Yes, our good friend Scott Bowling down in Atlanta, Georgia. Let's hear a little word from Scott.
My name is Scott Bowling. I have a show called Good Company. Good Company is a show where we film artists in the rock genre and we talk about their first record all the way to where they are now. We've interviewed bands like Korn and Seven Dust and Rich Ward. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook under Good Company or Good Company with Bowling. So please, if you get a chance, check it out.
Good Company!
All right, guys, check out the Good Company with Bowling and let him know that I sent you. Let everyone in the podcast world, even if I haven't sent you, let them know that I sent you, because I'm sure at some point I've pimped their shows on my show at some point in my life. Again, guys, the guest this week is Dewey Halpus from the Pure Pleasure Podcast. We go right into talking about when his early band moved from Alaska to Portland. That's where you will join in the conversation. And like we said earlier, Fat Mike was a recent guest on the show. And any chance I get to play some NoFX on the Talk To Me podcast, I'm going to take that chance. So right now we're going to listen to some NoFX. And then we will talk to Dewey Halpus of the Pure Pleasure Podcast.
Started. time years ago. So Joe played bass at the time. We all moved down to Portland. We all turned, well, I turned 18 finally. They were already of age. So we wanted to start touring and or trying to tour. And so we said, well, we're not going to fly down to the States every time we want to tour. So we moved down to Portland. And then from there, kind of got into some other music, expanded our horizons a bit. And then that turned into a band called A New Hope, which I had no idea was a Star Wars reference when they came up with it. And then I was the singer of that band. And then they went back home for Christmas, and John Gourley was writing some music up there. They wrote a song together and brought it back down and said, hey, we want to try having John sing, and I'll just do guitar and backups. I was like, cool, let's try it. So John moved down, and then that's how Anatomy of a Ghost started, is we kind of changed everything. And our shows were like half the set I was singing and then half the set John was singing. And then once we became Anatomy of a Ghost all the way, it continued on as it was, where John was singing and then Joe and I were on guitar and Zach was on bass and Nick on drums. So yeah, that move was the three of us at first, and then everyone else kind of came down afterwards.
Was that at all inspired by 36 Crazy Fists' move from Alaska to Portland?
Funny thing is, we didn't know each other. Like, we, and it's not a, I mean, Alaska's a huge place, but you know, you figure there's, you know, 50 bands maybe total, and we had never played a show together. We didn't know each other. They lived in Anchorage. We lived in Wasilla, which is the valley, and they were a lot older than we were. So, but yeah, that was what was like, man, we could do this. Like we could do this. But it was a band called the Zero Complex, which was they were from Fairbanks, and they were friends of ours we had played with before, and they were actually driving from Fairbanks down to Portland to move. Their van broke down by us, and they ended up spending like a month living with us while they got their van fixed. And they were the ones that really talked us into coming to Portland, because Seattle was so expensive. Portland was cheaper. And that's, I mean, that's what it was. I could transfer my job. I didn't have to look for a job. So, and then I got the other guy's jobs at, well, it was Walmart. Right. So I got the other guy's jobs in the meantime, and then
luckily you could transfer that Walmart job.
Yeah, so that was a big win right there. But yeah, so that was it. That was pretty much our deal. Like, we saw 36 Crazy Fists do it, but it wasn't really a deciding factor. It was more the other buddies.
And then the listening to the stuff, I mean, it's obviously very 2002, like it's which is not a bad thing. I mean, I actually, had I heard it in 2002, I probably would have really enjoyed it. And yeah. You know, not that I didn't today, but you know, you get it. And
I get it.
What was kind of, was there touring around that band? Was there, you know, obviously you guys got signed, you know, what was going on around the time?
Well, basically it was back in the infancy of Rise Records. So Craig from Rise Records, it was still a small label. They had like six bands. They had a band called Crosstide and Caddisfly, I think. And, there's a couple bands. Anyway, he started showing some interest in us, and we had a manager at the time that was pushing for us to go with Rise Records. And Craig was really apprehensive, because he's like, man, I have not recouped a record. I'm really, you know, I don't know what this label's going to do. And we're like, dude, we're going to tour. We're going to do whatever we need to do. We moved down here. Like, this is what we want to do. And we were willing to sacrifice everything. So he's like, okay, I'll put out a record for you. So Chris Kremit was one of his first records. I think Craig paid him $1,000 to do it. We did it like 2 weeks. We were seriously listening to Glass Jaw's Worship and Tribute only that whole time, driving back and forth to the studio. I remember that for sure. And anyway, so we put the record out. And immediately it got picked up by Fearless. So they wanted to sign us. Equal Vision wanted to sign us. So on our first tour, we ended up breaking down in Colorado, stayed with the Fear Before the March of Flames guys while we got a rental band situation done. Ended up going with Fearless Records, and Fearless bought the record before, like right before it came out. So he recouped almost immediately. And so then bands started signing to Rise, and Rise started getting bigger, and we were on Fearless. And then we didn't last much longer after that. We did like, I think it was end of 2004 when we called it quits, which was pretty quick. So, but we did a lot of touring. We did a lot of touring with like bands like Emery and The Beautiful Mistake and Fear for the March of Flames. And we took Seosin on their first little tour, like West Coast. And then, little stuff like that. We just started getting bigger, and then bands we were touring with would also get bigger. So it was like, who's going to play tonight? Who's going to headline? Like, it was that kind of thing. But so long story short, that band was short-lived, but did some good things in the time it was around. And it was very 2002.
And then The Burning Room, which looks like it came out around 2006, sounds very 2006. And once again, I really enjoyed it, man. What was the antithesis behind that band?
Well, so we had a lot of major labels that were courting us with Anatomy of a Ghost all at once. And when the guys came, like, it was kind of a weird thing. So like Nick and Joe came up and like, hey, we just want to do regular jobs. We don't want to tour anymore. So I was like, guys, we've been trying for this since we were 13 and we've got like a bidding war going. Can you hold on for 3 months and then we'll go on hiatus? Be set for life, you know, because back then they were paying that kind of money and it was crazy. And so they were like, nah, we just really want to go home. And then, so of course I was pissed and much younger. And so John and Zach came to me like, hey, we're going to start this like electronic side project called Portugal the Man. Do you want to do it with us? And I said, fuck no, I want to do this. This is what we've been doing. So I was, you know, really bitter. And I like playing intense music. Like I like playing live intense music, playing stuff that's a little softer. It just gets boring to me. I like that coming off stage, dripping sweat, like feeling like you're dead, you know, like there's something about it that just gets everything out. So I was like, well, I'm going to start a new band then. And so Burning Room, I wrote everything for it. And then I want it to be heavy, but I'm not a super technical guitar player. I don't have any theory knowledge. So when I set out to write something, it's more of an idea than I want it to sound like this. I just start playing. So Burning Room had a lot of melody still in there, but it was still kind of brutal. And then we had like three different people doing vocals. It was just kind of a crazy thing. And we ended up playing Portugal Band and Burning Room played our first show at the same time on the same day at a festival at a two-story venue. And we played upstairs. They played downstairs. It was really weird. So neither of us got to watch each other's first show. And so from there, we started touring with Burning Room. Our singer, John, had a van and trailer, so we had the means to tour. So we just started booking little tours down the West Coast, and then we got signed to a label called Media Scare out of Hollywood, and they had a studio called Undercity. And we went and basically lived in North Hollywood and recorded a record for a month, and then that was We Invented Thunder, and put that out. And then while that was happening, I got a call to come in and play with Portugal the Man, who were doing some big tours. And I was like, man, this could be a good opportunity. So I played a couple shows with them and Dredge down in Santa Cruz, and that went well. So I went and did some tours with Poison the Well and Fall of Troy and some Europe stuff. And so Burning Room, I was just kind of like, no one was really into it like the other guys were. So I was like, man, I'm just going to disband this thing because it was just too much work to do both.
No, I could definitely see that. And then what happens in between Portugal the Man doing those tours and then starting the Peer Pleasure podcast?
Well, a lot of things, actually. So the night before leaving for Europe with Portugal the Man, I got an email from Ryan Primack from Poison the Well, giving me an offer to join Poison the Well on bass. And I was like, man, Poison the Well plays a lot more countries and tours a lot more, and it's more aggressive. It's kind of up my alley. And at the time, Portugal was really big in Europe, but not in the U.S. And so I told them, I was like, guys, I think I'm going to move to Florida and join Poison the Well. And they're like, that's badass. So they replaced me while we were in Europe. And while we were in Europe, Poison the Well got another tour that they had to take, and they took a buddy with them, and he ended up staying on. So when I got back, I had no job. So then I was like, you know what? I've toured all over the place. Like, I'm starting to recognize bathrooms. Like, it just got really jaded. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get a job. So I went and got a job just down the road where I was living in retail and did that for a while and moved to Seattle and did more retail, and then came back down and had some kids and did the family thing. And then I was just kind of like, man, I didn't go to any shows for years. I didn't do anything. Like, I just did work and family stuff. And I was like, man, I could, I heard, what podcast was it? It was, I think, Mike Herrera's podcast randomly. I was at work and I was like, what is this podcast thing? Like, I put on the podcast app and I kind of just started searching for people. And I think it was Chris Rowe from the Ataris, that episode I listened to. And I was like, man, I could do this. And I was like, I know a lot of people. Like, I could reconnect with everybody and still have my home life. And that's kind of where it sparked. So that was, yeah, that was 2007 to 2016 was that area in the middle where I just did nothing and just kind of worked and kind of resigned myself to, you know, only doing that. So before I got that itch to do something else.
And you started the podcast in 2016?
Yeah. Yeah. October.
Coming up on 3 years. It's always a nice thing. And the one thing I've noticed about your show, and I do want to get the Fat Mike story, because I actually listened to that episode because I've subscribed to your show. And when I saw Fat Mike pop up, which I'm a huge NoFX fan.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'll definitely check this out. And then it got weirder and weirder and weirder. And being a podcaster myself, I'm like, I can kind of put myself in your shoes. And I'm like, man, this went off the rails quick. But, and the other thing I noticed too, is you seem to do a lot of traveling. You know, you were in Mexico for a show where you got to hang out with Blasco. So are you kind of, you know, living your tour life again a little bit here and there, being able to travel because of the show and not just because of music?
Well, it's an interesting thing, because it's the cool part about being an adult and having an actual career is you have money to do things. So, you know, you can have your home life and, you know, do your thing, but then you have money to travel. You have credit. You can get, you know, a mileage card. You can do all sorts of cool things when you're not in a touring band. And you can kind of do things on your own terms. And so the Mexico City thing was it was for my birthday. And it was like the Mike Mowry who runs Jabberjaw. He's been a buddy of mine since, you know, we basically had a conference call and talked every day ever since. This was back in 2016. And, we would travel to Podcast Movement together, which is this podcast convention, which is, I don't like to talk down on it, 'cause it's a good idea, but it's just a group of people, it seems like, that don't know what they're doing and think if they show up and pay this $600 to go to this festival thing, that they're going to get the next big idea or they're going to get what they need to make their podcast successful, which 99% of the time your podcast is not going to be successful as far as being monetized. And, you know, there's a select few that hit at the right time, but otherwise it's pretty much a labor of love thing with podcasting. So
we'll see. What you guys should have done is gone to the Rock and Pod Expo, which I just went to in Nashville over the weekend, where dudes from Michael Sweet was there and Dave Ellefson was there. It's all rock and metal podcasts. And, you know, all the celebrities, quote unquote celebrities, go to each table and do interviews. And you mingle with other shows and, you know, get on their shows and all that stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
That's rad. See, that's a whole different idea. Like Dave Ellefson was staying a room or two down from us in Mexico City. We ran into him a couple times. But anyway, that trip was like Mike texted me like, hey, you should come to Mexico with me with Refuse. So I was like, oh yeah, that'd be hilarious. And then the next text was a plane ticket. And I was like, what? Dude, my passport's expired. And he's like, well, figure it out. Everything else is paid for. And I was like, God damn it. So I had like 4 days to get a passport, and it cost me $700. And then my passport got lost in a snowstorm from FedEx. So I had to cancel my flight, and I missed the whole first day with Refuse, Mastodon, everybody. And then got there like 10 o'clock at night when Deep Purple was playing. So Mexico City was crazy. Like I said, once you have money to do things, like an actual income where your bills are paid, you know, you're not making crazy money, but you have enough to like, maybe I want to, you know, get one of those, they email you the Alaska Airlines, $59 one way, whatever. Yeah, I'm going to utilize that and do it. That's kind of what it's been. So other than, you know, Mike flying me around places with his miles, it's been, you know, hey, maybe this would be cool to do. You know, I did mainly the first bunch of interviews for the show on the phone or Skype or whatever, which is awesome. But in person is just so much better. And it's kind of worth it sometimes to book some stuff and fly out and do it.
It's funny you talk about, you know, being able to, being a little bit older and having a little bit of money. And, you know, I toured for so long and just had crap jobs and no credit. I remember, I mean, this has only been a couple of years ago, going in and just applying for a bank loan for a car, and they just gave it to me. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what? You know, like, we're not going to fight. We're not going to argue. You're not going to tell me I have to do this, this, and this, or, you know, get a parent to co-sign or something. And I was just like, okay, all right. And then, you know, the same with the home loan. It was just like, you know, we went in for the home loan and they gave us, here's what you're pre-approved for. And I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, I totally get all of that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you don't know what to do with it because you haven't had any training because you've been just living hand to mouth for so long. It's weird.
What I was talking about with the Fat Mike episode, kind of just walk me through that, because it seems like it went from a quick phoner to, you know, a pool party.
Yeah, it was weird. I was just talking to Kenny Vasoli from the Starting Line yesterday about this, because he's also a listener of the show and wanted to know about it. And I told him I've been trying to set up the interview with Fat Mike for a year and a half. And it was basically, he just doesn't do interviews. And after Vegas, NoFX did no press. So when I reached out to the publicist who I've worked with before, she's like, yeah, they're not doing press. And Fat Mike's probably the last one that's going to do it. And finally, I just hit her up randomly again. She's like, yeah, you know what? After the Cokie record came out, I was like, she sent me the Cokie record. I listened to it in the car. I pulled over because it was brutal. Like, I was starting to tear up. Like, this is awful, like an awful in a good way, like a beautiful way. And I emailed her right back, and I was like, I have to speak to Fat Mike about this record. I don't care if we talk NoFX, I don't care anything else, I have to talk to him about this record. I'm serious. And she emailed back, she's like, let me see what I can do. So she's like, man, I think you can get him, you know, Wednesday at 2 or whatever. I was like, okay, sweet. She's like, just be prepared for him not to answer and maybe not reschedule. I was like, perfect. Okay, whatever. So I call him up and he's just like, hello. I was like, hey, Mike, it's Dewey. You know, and this is the part you don't hear. Like, this is the call before the call.
Yeah.
And he says something and I'm like, what? And he says it again. I'm like, dude, I can't understand what you're saying. He's like, I just started taking a shit. I need you to call me back in 15 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I hang up. He's like, thanks. And I was like, dude, this is going to be bad. Like, I just had this awful feeling. Like, I might not even call back. Like, this is like, he's out of it. Who knows what's going to happen? And I was like, you know, fuck that. I've been trying for this for a year and a half. I call him back in 15 minutes. He's like, and that's the call you hear. That's where he's like, all right. You know, and he's like, I'm on day two or whatever of opiates. I thought he was up for 2 days. And anyways, it's just awkward and weird. And I was like, man, this is going to be odd. Like, as I'm talking, I'm just like, this is not going well. And then all of a sudden he asked me like, all right, what kind of questions do you have for me? And I was like, dude, it's not like that. And that's when we started talking music. And he's like, oh, you're a musician. Then everything changed. Then he's talking. And I told Vanessa, the publicist, I was like, I would do a whole episode with Mike just about BDSM, because he's always trying to talk about it. And everyone just kind of laughs and breezes past it. And so he starts talking about, you know, I had this party with blah, blah, blah. And then he starts texting me videos while I'm talking to him on my phone. So when I do the interviews, my phone's on my lap and I'm doing it with a mobile recorder. Yeah, yeah. So I see the text come through and it's Fat Mike. I'm like, what the hell? And he said, I'm going to send you some stuff. Anyway, he's sending me all these videos. He's like, you know, don't send these around, which I haven't. But anyways, it's just weird shit that he does with these people at these parties at his house. And so then we started connecting and yeah, it was great. And then, but then he's like, man, I got this other interview that's calling through. This guy's pissed. And, I was like, man, we'll just do, you know, at that point it was next Friday. I was going to see him at Punk and Drublick. I was like, we'll just continue it there, which I think I said on the interview. Yeah. But, so after that, he's like, you know, the studio calls me and plays me the song we were talking about. And then Mike keeps texting me for like through the whole interview he's doing with the Canadian guy. He keeps texting me, and he's like, "Man, why don't you fly down next Tuesday and let's hang out at my house and I'll play you all these songs I was telling you about, play the new NoFX record, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Are you serious? Cause I'll do that." And I went home and told my wife, and I had this big smile on my face. She's like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "I think I might need to fly to LA next week." She's like, "What are you talking about?" "Fat Mike wants me to come down to his house." She's like, "Oh, you got to do that." So I got online and I found one of those cheap deals and said, "Dude, I'm going to buy this ticket. Are you serious?" He's like, "It's done, man. Do it." So I buy the ticket. I go down and to LA. I book another interview with Leah from Slothrest as well, which I've been trying to do for a while. Anyways, we show up at Fat Mike's house and we can't find him. There's contractors everywhere. The house is torn apart. Like, it's insane. Like, they're doing a full remodel. I'm like, "Dude, was this a joke?" And then Mike's like, "Oh, he's over there." And I go over to him. He's like, "Hey." I was like, "Hey, man." He's like, and I was like, "Oh, it's Dewey." He's like, "Oh, hey." Anyway, that was like the awkward meeting. And then everything's good. He's like, "Why don't you walk around, check out the house, whatever." We go in the studio. He's sitting down and he's getting texts from whoever all throughout the day. And he's like, "Man, I think I just got Fat Mike'd. I Fat Mike'd myself." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "There's a term, getting Fat Mike'd. It's where I forget I have an interview with you or whatever else. And then all of a sudden it springs on me and I either do it or I don't. But even when I know about it, I forget about it. Anyways, but I forgot you were coming down here, so I Fat Mike myself." Anyway, the whole time he's just himself all the time. Like, I don't feel bad talking about anything because he's just an open book. But you know, there's little like you were sitting at the desk listening to the NoFX record. And he's like, he looks at the desk and then he rubs his hand on it, rubs it on his gums. He's like, "Sorry, I have a bit of a coke problem." And so it was like residue from coke from the night before. He's playing us all these songs from the musical, playing us all these songs from the NoFX record. He's like, "Hey, you know, what order do you think these songs should go in? We can't decide." And anyways, it's just this cool experience. Like, I'm sitting there, like, you know, plunking away on a bass I've seen him play since I was in high school. That was sitting next to me on the couch at Fat Mike's house in LA on a weekday, like a middle of the week. Anyway, so that was happening. We were just telling all these stories about all these bands he's written songs for and things like that. And just throwing ideas back and forth, about different business stuff. Like, he just kind of absorbs you into his life. It's interesting. Like, he's talking about things like, and asking for advice on things. You could tell he was in a weird spot, but,
yeah, he's definitely in a weird spot.
Yeah, so then he's like, so "We need to finish this interview." He's like, "Yeah, let's do it in the pool." I was like, "Well, that's interesting." But the rule is, to get in the pool, you have to be in latex and heels. I was like, "All right." So he goes in the back. He has this huge, we went through his dungeon. He's got like all this crazy shit. I mean, it's no joke. Like, he's got, his entire house is geared around BDSM and kink. The entire house. Like, there's showers with windows to the hallway with like places to be tied up in it. He's getting a glass coffin put in the floor. This is rad. He's got tiled black flag tiles in the bathroom so that the way it's configured, it has the bars in the middle. It's pretty rad. But anyway, we dressed up.
You should have interviewed the contractors out there and be like, "What do you guys think about all this?"
Dude, the contractor is the guy from HGTV. He does stuff with H2O. Like, he's like a big dude. I can't remember his name. I follow him on Facebook, but super nice. Anyway, he goes to the back and gets all the outfits. He's like, "I think this one will fit you. It's this giant pink muumuu." And we threw it on and got in the pool. And actually, like, the mic cord's sitting in the pool while we're sitting there just doing it. And then finally it got incredibly hot. In the sun, in the valley there, in wherever the hell it was, I forget the city, but and we're just like, "Dude, let's wrap. Are we done here? Let's just wrap this thing up." Even though it was like a pretty good interview with as far as the content, but we both look at each other like, "Are we done? Let's just get in the pool and cool off because this fucking sucks." So that's kind of where we ended it, and it just turned into this whole like weird, awkward first meeting phone call. Like 20 minutes into traveling to LA to have this incredibly weird conversation, an entire day of weirdness. And then we ran to each other at Punk and Drublick. I brought my wife and they met and they hit it off. And then I was like, hey, man, I'll probably leave right at the end of the decline. I probably won't see you. You're probably busy. He's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, well, it's your festival. You're probably going to be settling up and everything else. He's like, dude, you dressed up like a pink sissy girl. You're a friend now. I'll always have time for you. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. Because he's like, you know, there's 15 people in my group of people that come over, and you and Mike are now part of that. So I was like, hell yeah, we'll come down anytime. So that was rad. That was one of the cool. I mean, these podcasts, I feel like I make friends with a lot of people through it, because you just go so deep in things that you kind of connect or you don't. And so he's one of the ones that, you know, him and I text, you know, a couple times a week still. And we didn't know each other at all before. So that was cool. But anyway, that's the most of the story.
No, that's an amazing story. And yeah, but I do get what you're saying with the, when you interview somebody or you have someone on your show and you talk to them, you know, there's been a ton of times where I've gotten off the podcast and like walked away like, well, that's my new best friend. And,
yeah.
And then, you know, I've also had some times where, you know, 9-10 minutes into the talk, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to stop this.
Yeah.
You know, this is wasting mine and his time.
Sure. Isn't that weird? Hey, you can get like, I mean, you set it up, like obviously they want to do the interview or they wouldn't say yes.
Right.
And then, yeah, it's only happened to me once, but it was really, I didn't know how to take it. I was kind of like, man, why even say yes? But, there's some stuff that hasn't been announced yet that, happened from a podcast a couple episodes back that'll come out later. But when you talk about my new best friend kind of stuff, like the different things come out of it too, where it's anyway, I guess I should have brought it up. I can't talk about it yet anyway, but
it's always at least the best on record, for a podcast,
I can tell you off record, but you'll hear it soon.
Well, of the episodes that you have out, you know, of the almost 3 years worth of episodes, I mean, what are some of those guys that, you know, you got off the phone going, wow, you know, like maybe you didn't expect it to be that good and it ended up being some of the best stuff you've had?
Man, there's so many. It's weird. Like Chris, like off the top of my head, Chris Conley from Saves the Day. I came off that call completely inspired. Like it was the most positive, upbeat conversation I'd had in a long time. Like it was weird. Like I got an email saying, you know, hopefully he's having a good day from the publicist. And I was like, I wonder what that means. You know, like, man, we were just like thumbs up texting afterwards. Like, this is great. You know, Kenny from the starting line yesterday was absolutely amazing and fun. Fat Mike was interesting. Like Danny Trejo, the actor, Machete.
Yeah.
I came off that call just smiling because he's just himself all the time. I mean, say hi to this pretty lady. Hold on a second. Hey, pretty lady. You know, like just cruising the streets of LA, taking his shirt off, like doing, just being Danny Trejo. Well,
he saved a baby the other day. So
I saw that.
Probably on a podcast interview.
Yeah, probably. And that's the weird thing. Like all these, I'm starting to try to break into Hollywood a little bit because it's, and it's gradually happening, but you know, I don't always just want to do musicians or comedians or, you know, and it's a whole nother realm. And so I just have another one coming up next Friday. Like it's all kind of coming together that way, but it's and those are some that stand out to me, you know, immediately is that. And then, you know, Josh from Coheed, that one was a great one too, where I'd never spoken to him really before. We'd done some stuff together, like karaoke and stuff after a show, but never spent any time talking or anything. And that one we went, I think I had 45 minutes and we went 2.5 hours. And that's the other weird thing. I don't know if you run into it too, is you'll set up like a publicist, a set time. You want to be professional and stick to it because they probably have something else going on. But then if the conversation's really good, you don't want to cut it off. But so it's a weird thing where like, do I cut this off at 45 minutes and be professional, or do I keep going until they realize how long it's been? And I've kind of gone both ways and it's usually worked out.
Well, the one thing that actually happened recently on the, I had Ricky Rackman of Headbangers Ball on.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I grew up watching that show and that was like my, gateway into a lot of my favorite bands. And I interviewed him about his new podcast he has, and I think the publicist gave me 20 minutes. And that 20 minutes, I do the normal, well, Ricky, I know our time's coming up. And he's like, oh, no, we can keep going. And we went for another, 30 minutes or something. And that was like,
that's awesome.
That's like the most validating thing ever when a guy like that is into what you're asking and wants to keep going.
Dude, when I interviewed Ian MacKay from Fugazi, that was a journey because he made me wait a long time. Like I guessed his email address. I just guessed it. I sent like 6 emails to different emails I thought might be his. Wow. All of them came back except for one as not real. And, excuse me. He emailed me back. Finally was like, hey, I'm not doing any more interviews this year. Give me, email me in January or whatever. I was like, okay, that's like 5 months away. So I emailed him in January. He's like, hey, so yeah, give me another couple months. I was like, okay. Email him again. He's like, all right, how about Thursday, whatever time? It's like, perfect. And I'm nervous as shit because I was like, this guy gets in, not nervous to interview him, but nervous because he's interviewed every day. What am I going to talk to him about? And so I just went into it that way. Like, I'm just going to ask him what I want to ask him. And I did. And we ended up talking about all sorts of shit. But at about like 45 minutes or something like that, he's like, hold on a second, and clicks over on the phone, clicks back over. He's like, oh, that was another interview. I just told him to call back. And I was like, what? Are you serious? And so then we kept going for like another 20, 30 minutes. And I was like, holy shit. Ian bumped an interview. This was like episode 30 or whatever. I still had no idea what I was doing. And I was in my car on my lunch break in the rain. Like it was just, and I was, yeah, recording wrong. And it was just a disaster. But yeah, I think I doubled my, I had it hooked up and it doubled my voice. I had my cousin, who's a friend, audio forensics dude for the FBI, like he had to go in and like clean it up as much as he could, and it still sounds like I'm a robot. Nice. But he made it listenable.
Yeah, you got to take it there. I had early episode with Kyle Turley, who played for the New Orleans Saints. Big metalhead guy, but he's in a band, and I knew like his guitar players, and this is like episode 7. I mean, something real ridiculous. And he called me and he's like, so how long do you normally have your interviews? And I'm like, oh, I'd like to go for about an hour. And like right when I said that, I could hear in his voice, he's like, man, I can't do that long. I could do like 30 minutes. Hour and 20 minutes later, we were getting off the phone. I was just like, victory,
Yes. Yeah, people don't understand what podcasting is. They still don't. They still don't. A publicist is like, all right, how about 25 minutes? Like, no, I can't do it. They're like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, I can't. It doesn't fit the format of the show. Like, I can't put out a 20-minute episode. But, yeah, and they finally realize it. It's funny.
Yeah, it's definitely grown since, since I started this in 2015, I believe. Yeah, coming up on 4 years. You did 16. So, I mean, it was still relatively new then, and it's still kind of gaining ground. The more news, your show makes and my show makes, obviously gives it a little bit more credence. And if you can go back to a publicist, because they send you out those like, hey, this guy's doing interviews and there's 30-minute blocks, pick your block. And you're like, you kind of get bummed out, but I'll take those all day just to get the person on. But I'd much rather have a unlimited time.
Yeah, that's true. I think the one thing I've learned from podcasting over these couple years is it doesn't matter who's on. It doesn't matter. Like, it matters to me if I want to speak to somebody personally. Hey, I got to spend an hour with, whoever. And that means a lot to me, but it does not make any difference in the numbers. I mean, you can have, because, you can have so-and-so on. If they don't share it on socials or, it doesn't get picked up that way, it doesn't matter if you have, the dude in the park on your show or not. The goal is to make people like your show and like you, right? So they, whoever you're talking to, they're gonna listen, and because of your show, not because so and so's on. That's fleeting, because you can have, my buddy Andy from Fall Out Boy, I had him on the show. Before the episode even came out, they posted on their Facebook, which has 9.6 million followers. The preview was watched 80 some thousand times before the episode even came out. And his numbers did the same as a little bit less than Johnny from the Blood Brothers. Oh, so it does not matter. Like it's good to get visibility, but if someone that likes that person only likes that person, they're going to come follow your show and then they're going to bail. because they've listened to that episode and they don't care. It's building that rapport with your audience going forward, you know, so they say, oh, you're talking to someone, I've never heard that person before, but I'll listen. Or I don't even like that band, but I'll listen, you know, you know, that's kind of the thing I've learned is it doesn't matter except to you who's on the show, as long as you have, you know, a good core.
Oh yeah. There's definitely many episodes. If you look through my list, you're like, okay, I get why he has, you know, Phil Anselmo and Dave Ellison and all those guys on the show. But then you're like, why does he have this guy? And I'm like, because I liked that band when I was 12.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we do it. I mean, we're not making tons of money at podcasting. We're doing this, you know, cause we want to do it. And it's awesome that people want to listen, you know, and it's awesome to have the documentation, you know, of where you were, what you were doing, or my kids can go back and listen to, you know, over 200 hours of me talking to people, you know, and I like that aspect of it.
You know, a friend of mine reached out to me early on in the podcast. He was listening to it and he said that his dad had passed away, but he had a local bluegrass show on the local, you know, public access radio show. But yeah. He had all those tapes of that show, and he said every once in a while he'll just throw one in just to have his dad around. And, you know, he basically said the same thing. He's like, now your kids can go back and have hours and hours of listening to you, you know, if something were to happen. And I was like, wow, that's crazy.
It is. But my dad's same way. My dad had a local radio show he volunteered to do, and I have a box. So he's still around, but I have a box of those tapes from the Christmas specials, and we put them on at Christmas time, and it's just him playing music he likes and talking. And I used to go with them to record these things, but I could never stay quiet. So I sat in the room next door and played records. Yeah. So I always have, you know, a special affinity for that. And all the music I'm on is fucking yelling and screaming. My kids wouldn't hear my voice anyways. They're just like, what is this? So being able to hear, you know, what I'm thinking and things like that is another big deal. It's like a journal, you know, but other people get to share it and, get things from it. And
it's funny how my kids, they know that I did some stuff in music and they know that I know some famous people or whatever. And, we went out to see Nonpoint, and I interviewed the drummer in my Jeep with my son in the back seat. And then we go into the show cause he's 14. So I took him in and, we're watching the show and he's like, wait a minute. He's like, isn't that the guy who was in the Jeep? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you know famous people? And I'm like, how many times do I have to tell you, yes, Dad knows famous people?
That's the weirdest thing for them to grasp, too. I remember playing with the Burning Room on Warped Tour, and this was our bass player at the time. He was younger. And I've talked about stories of touring before that. But then we're at Warped Tour, and we're over by the merch table, and Gerard from My Chemical Romance comes up. He's like, dude, what's up? We hug each other, and he just looks at me with his mouth open, like, what the fuck? And I was like, dude, I told you. Like, once you start touring and you get in with people like this, like, a lot of these people don't have other people. I mean, their pool gets very small of who they can hang out with and talk to them like a normal person. And, It's a weird thing, but just watching his mouth drop was hilarious. Cause I was like, dude, do you think I was lying? Like, it was just weird. And so that was also very funny to see is the shock. It's like, dude, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Of all the tours that I did and all of the bigger bands that I played with that I kept in touch with, maybe not war, but it's like, you know, we went to battle with these guys each night and, traveled and they broke down in their van and our van broke down and you know everybody has these stories, so even if I see them today, you know, they're always like, dude, I saw the podcast got picked up on Blabbermouth again. Like, they're paying attention too to what I'm doing as I'm still paying attention to what they're doing. And it's just I always say in this podcast musicians world, you know, we're about 1 degree of separation from everybody, you know. There's no 6 degrees anymore. It's one or two at tops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's extremely incestuous and weird. And yeah, you go to war. It's like being in the military together. Like, you've gone through basic training. Like, you're now a lifelong, you know, brothers. You know, it's you're out there alone, not alone, but you're out there finding what you're made of in awful conditions and going through the same things. It just bonds people together. It's really a special thing.
Well, I do think this is a good place to stop. And what we are doing is we're going to head over to your podcast now and I guess finish up this conversation, if that's how we're going to work this, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, very cool. Just as we're wrapping up on this side, you know, just what's the best way to people to find you and to follow you and all that good stuff?
Well, purepleasurepodcast.com is the website. I know a lot of people don't use websites anymore, but we have everything on there. All the episodes, there's like a playlist of every episode, pictures, all that stuff, show notes. And my assistant, Samantha, does all the show notes and revamped the website and everything else and does all sorts of awesome stuff. So, and then Instagram is just purepleasurepod. That's pretty much where we are everywhere. And then people can email me at purepleasurepod@gmail.com. And then, yeah, we're everywhere. So you just type in Pure Pleasure Podcast on any podcatcher and you have everything. So
very cool, man. I appreciate you taking the time today.
You bet, brother.
Huge thank you to Dewey for coming on the show. Make sure you're heading over right now for the second half of this conversation over on the Pure Pleasure Podcast. It was a lot of fun talking with him. We get more into my days in Primer 55 and all that fun stuff. So make sure you're headed over, check it out, and let him know that I sent you. Make sure you're joining the Facebook group, the Talk To Me Congregation. Daily rants and nonsense over there. A lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun over there. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe to the show. Tell a buddy, bring a friend. And so for the Talk To Me podcast, I am Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys on Thursday with guests Dave Ellefson and Tom Hazart.